Buenos dias. I know some of you understand what that means. Good morning. Bon dia. Bonjour. Whatever language you speak, I don't know in Swahili. And what is Brother Cleveland? I tried to remember that, but I told Brother Kisaka, the young one, it is too complicated. It's going to take me some time. It is a blessing to be here today. Tomorrow does not exist. We should not make plans for it. We should live at full today. Amen. And if we take care of today, that is the best guarantee that tomorrow will come. Amen. Sometimes we are so preoccupied with tomorrow that we neglect today. And what happened is that we kill today and we end up damaging tomorrow as well. So let's enjoy this day, because this is the day that the Lord has made for us to rejoice, right? And so look back to this scripture. And I'd like to welcome my brothers and sisters from San Marcos. And we are missing my brother Donald. Yes, I hope he's well. Okay, and we'd like to say welcome again to Sister Carol. She's here with us too, and my sister Lydia. We are very blessed that all of you are here. And I hope we have welcome everyone. Sister Lillian is here too, the Kisaka. My brother with the red tie in the back there, that imposed figure, and his family is here with us too. So I told him, welcome visitors, because we miss them for a few weeks, but we are very blessed that they are here with us. Amen. And those that are with us online, let's not forget them, because they are not able to be here physically, but they are here with us via a teleconference. We like to welcome our brother Eric also. I was listening to the whole lesson, and our message today is almost in the same area as the our lesson, but not precisely. Today's message is entitled Prayer in Crisis. Many people, when there is crisis, the first thing that they neglect is their time with God. Why? Because they are overwhelmed with fear, with anxiety. For example, there is not a single human being here that would not feel some anxiety, especially when they realize that their income, their source of income, for some reason has been taken away. Or for some reason, you go to the mail, you expect that check to come, and the check is not there. And then you wait 1 or 2 or 3 days, and the check is not there. Then you start making phone calls, and people say to you, I have no idea what you're talking about. We have no record that you're supposed to receive any check. Have you noticed how those things can cause anxiety? Or when you wanted to buy something and then you realize that you run out of money, but the need is still there. So what do we do when crisis strikes? Do we pray? Do we fear? Do we let things get out of control? And sometimes when crisis comes, sometimes we at home, we start to become abusive to other people of the family. We lose our composure. And it's very important for us to understand that crisis comes. It is part of human nature. Open your Bibles, please, in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It won't be on the screen. This one is just so you get used to look at the screen. So I want to hear you open your Bibles, because that is a wonderful sound. So once in a while, we have to break the routine to make sure that you go back to that routine that we must have. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. I read this in original language and the meaning of it. And some versions, they say, there's no temptation that comes to you that is not common to every human. The word temptation of there, you can replace that word temptation by crisis. There's no crisis that will come to your life that is not common to every human being. Every human being will go through crisis. Or you can replace the word crisis, temptation, you say suffering. There is no 1 Corinthians 10:13. Okay? There is no suffering or inconvenience or interruptions that comes to you that is not common to every human being. But here comes the most important part of the text, which says, but God is faithful and he will not allow you to be afflicted beyond your ability to deal with it. Isn't that a wonderful verse? I hope that you do have your Bible, and I hope that you mark this verse, and at least once a month you look into this verse. I wish that you could be more than once a month, but look into it. But don't just read. Let the words come out of the page and come into you and become part of what you are, of your thinking process. Remember, you are not in this by yourself. So all that you have to do is to make sure to make the right connection in time of crisis or in time that is not a time of crisis. Usually, people do not have God in time of crisis are people that forgot God in the time of prosperity. It's very simple. Those that do not praise God when everything is doing well actually won't find God when things are bad, because they don't know how to find God. The best way for you to find God is when something are not in bad shape yet. Praise God when everything is good. Believe me, good will last a little longer. But sometimes good comes and we forget God. We don't pray, we don't talk to him, because who needs him? I have a fat check that comes every 2 weeks. I have a gorgeous house. I have this wonderful car. I have the most good-looking spouse that I can have. I have a genius as children. Who needs God? And usually that's the way it happens. They do not need God when everything is good. They forget who provide them all those stuff that they have. They only remember who provide is when those stuff start being taken away from them. So let that be your case. Prayer in crisis, or you may say crisis in prayer. That's the other way, the other side of the coin that you don't want to. So it's better to pray during crisis than have crisis in your prayer life. Now, I showed this picture before, and I'm showing it again. This is the picture that reminds us when Lucifer was sent away from heaven. He created crisis up there. And since there's no place for crisis in the presence of God, Brother Eric, I believe you have to mute everyone, please. Can you do that? Okay, because we hear some. Okay, this is somebody online. It is forgot to mute themselves. That's why we could hear them for some a moment. I said, where is this coming from? So in this picture shows Satan and all his angels, one third of his angels, taken away from heaven. Now, I believe that we know how to solve this. Give me a second, please. Everybody, just wait for a second. I'm looking for my telephone. so that I can, unfortunately, it happened, so. Yeah, today is this day, I did not bring my phone. So, but I have another way to do it. And the only reason why I'm taking the time to do this is because when a microphone is open, sometimes a person is not aware. And so to be completely safe, we like to go to. So Satan is the creator of every single crisis. Now, I noticed that sometimes during the Sabbath school lesson, there was a statement. Some people sometimes understand that in some circumstances, God is the one who causes affliction in our lives just to shape us, to make us better. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but that's not what I see in my Bible. No one who is tempted say, I've been tempted by God. No one who is being afflicted says, I'm being afflicted by God. God does not afflict anybody for good or bad reasons. He does not use the devil's tools. Satan creates crisis. God only deals with crisis. God's job is to eliminate crisis, not to create them for any purpose. So I hope you do understand that. Satan is the creator of crisis. Every single crisis. If you go back to that 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says clearly, but I will not allow who? Satan, to cause you crisis beyond what you can stand, but I will find a way out. God is the deliverer, not the one who afflicts you. So please, do not allow yourselves ever to assume that God will ever use any means to afflict you, to coerce you, to force you to choose something, because God gave you the gift of choice and you are free to choose without Him twisting your arm. Because if God punishes you, if God afflicts you, if He forces you to accept Him, then He is not allow you to use your freedom of choice. So it's very important for you to understand that, brothers
there
and sisters.
There are seven participants in the conference. Participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves. Unmuted.
Okay. Isn't it a coincidence that when we start talking about Satan creating crisis, exactly when everything started?
Yes.
It's not a coincidence, you know. Okay, let's continue. Hope that we not have an inconvenience. Prayer. I wanted you all to pay attention to what it says here. Prayer in the time of crisis. Prayer during the time of crisis is the only instrument that is God-given instrument to us to deal with crisis, because it is the prayer that allows us to reach out and have God in our companionship. Here is the picture of Moses. Is it possible that Moses was ever insecure in his life? Some people say, oh yes, he was insecure before that encounter that he had close to the burning bush. Now, this is Moses' doubt. Numbers 11, verse 14 and 15, New Century Version. If you would like to open your Bibles, Numbers 11, verse 14 and 15. By the way, this one will be on the screen, okay? Verse 14 says, I can take care of all these people alone. It's too much for me. Have you ever been in a situation in your life that says, I'm overwhelmed. It's too much. I can't handle this. And this is Moses speaking. He says, it is too much for me. I can't. If you are going to continue doing this to me, what? You can tell that Moses at this time, he did not know God that much yet. This is the beginning. And so he says, you are doing this to me. Why you put me here in this position and now you don't help me? Because these people, it is not easy. And he was stuck with those people for 40 years. Now he says, if you are going to continue doing this to me, put me to death. And then I won't have any more troubles. Is death the solution for us not to have any more troubles? You'll be amazed how many young people believe that that's the result, that's the way. There are many people, and it has been a very serious problem in our society. There are many people that die every day not to deal with their troubles. How did they die? They take drugs, and they are dead for just for a few moments. And then they come back, oh, the troubles are here. They take the needle or whatever they use there, and they want to be unconscious. Some people use alcohol. So people use many different ways to try to get away from their troubles. But the only solution to get away from your troubles is to face them holding the hand of Christ. If you hold the hand of Christ, then you won't have crisis, you have Christ. Amen. But if you let it go, that hand, then crisis comes back in. Because whatever darkness is, light is not, but whatever light is, darkness won't be present. It's a common sense. When somebody say to you, like in this case, Moses was a little bit confused. He thought the darkness and light was coming from the same creator. And he would even ask, put me to death. Many people think that God is in a business to take people's lives. The Bible says, I change not. If God gives, he doesn't take away. But many people think that he's the one who's taking away. We do not understand evil and the nature of evil. And for that reason, because we do not understand, we pick on the big guy. He says, why not blame God? Everybody else does. And so that's what happens. Elijah, do you remember who Elijah was? Or no, who Elijah is, because if there is one person that have never was, is Elijah. Elijah went to heaven alive. Did he fear? Look at his limitations too. And by the way, I'm using this. I'll tell you the purpose of this. It looks like a little bit negative, but I'll show you there's a purpose for this. Elijah, 1 Kings 19, verse 3. He says, Elijah was afraid. Afraid of what? This is a very powerful man. This is a man that prays and fire comes down from heaven and takes his offering. This is a man that sees a young boy dead and he brings it back to life. This is the man that says, oh, there's no food. Okay, there's no problem. And there was oil and food for that widow. This is the man who spoke and things came to existence. And why was he afraid? Afraid of what? By the way, when I tell you what he was afraid, probably most of you says, oh, I know. He was afraid of Jezebel. By the way, in the scriptures in Revelation, it tells us that the last days Jezebel is going to rise again. And many of you, Elijahs, may run for cover too. You know who Jezebel is, right? The woman, the evil woman that symbolized the corrupt church, that the devil will create an image for that, and many in the last days will also or either run towards her or away from her. And I hope that you will be running away from her too. Elijah was afraid. Afraid because he was not, he didn't want to die, right? It says here, and fled for his life because he didn't want to die. It's something natural in us. You know, we do everything possible not to die. But what happened? He took his servant and went to Beersheba in Judah. So he moved to another country. He ran to another country, leaving the servant there. And then the next verse, he says, Elijah walked a whole day into the wilderness. He stopped and sat down in the shade of a tree and wished he would die. Basically, he prayed for his death. It is too much, O Lord. Oh, I had enough. I can't deal with this anymore. Take away my life. I might as well be dead. It is one, the only prophet, coincidence, there's the only prophet that did not die. The one who prayed to die, and he did not die. The one who ran away from Jezebel because he was afraid to die, and yet God gave him eternal life right there. He received eternal life. Elijah was a person just like us. Just like us. He earnestly prayed that it would not rain, and no rain fell during 3.5 years. He prayed again. God sent rain, and the earth produced fruit. This is James 5, verse 17, verse 18, 18. Suffering. When we talk about suffering, everybody knows who that person is, right? Let me say it again. When we talk about suffering, everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about you. Job is just an example. It's just to help us to reflect. Job's words, Job 3, verse 4, it says, why did I not die at birth? Why do I live? I want to die. I don't want to continue living. Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Have you noticed a pattern? All these powerful men, they had a moment in crisis when they wish they would not be alive. Can you relate to it? There are moments in our lives that we think that it's over, it's the end of the road. But why I use those examples? Because we can look in the scriptures that in a moment of weakness, Satan almost had them. And thank God for the almost. Satan almost. Imagine what would have happened to the whole history of the world if Satan had taken Moses away. What about Job? If there is one book in the Bible that helps us to understand very slightly but better the conflict between good and evil, is the book of Job. One day we're going to use the whole sermon to talk about the book of Job and some lessons that we learn about the character of God. Here is just a little bit of it. I have heard of you by hearing of the ear. I went to Sabbath school, I went to church, I read the Bible, I watched some religious amazing facts of Voice of Prophecy. I went to church, I attend church regularly, so I heard of you. All of you here can relate to that. We all heard of him. But I wish you can relate to the second part of this verse. This is what it says. But now my eyes sees you. Satan brought all the Christ to his life to blind him. But God showed up and gave him a new vision in life. And that is, my brothers and sisters, the vision that I want you to have about a God that is anxious to deal with your crisis. Job 42, verse 5. Mark that in your Bible too, because make those words yours. But now, Lord, my eyes can see you. And the Lord restored Job's losses. When? By the way, here is the recipe for success in life. Mark this down, because this is the recipe. It says, when he prayed for his quote-unquote friends. Who needs friends like them? Remember that Job was in the worst of part of his life, and they came and says, it's your fault. Isn't that a good example of some church members that come to visit you and say, hey, how are you? Why are you still in bed? Maybe you should change your diet. Maybe it's because you're not eating properly. Maybe all that soda that you keep drinking, and we keeping telling exactly about those dear friends, saying it's all your fault. You brought this upon you, you miserable fool. You bring this upon yourself. It's your fault. But he says, when he decided to stop looking at his suffering and look at somebody that looks very healthy outside, but was very sick inside. And so God asked Job, I want you to be a mediator. I want you to take your eyes away from you and look to something greater than you. Pray for others. Because it's when you are committed and pray for others that your life starts changing. Because everything you wish for others, it comes to you, bad or worse. When you pray good for others, good will come to them and to you. But when you wish bad for others, you know who listens to your prayer? Oh, yes. Abaddon. No Abba. Abaddon. There is a D-O-N at the end, which means destruction. So your prayer will be heard one way or the other. Sometimes you hear somebody, you see somebody that has been done bad to you. It is very, we are constantly tempted to feel some, you know, I wish that miserable fellow get paid for what they deserve. Don't say those things. Don't be a judge because you'll be judged. Don't be cruel to others because cruelty will find its path back to you. Whatever you wish to others will come to you. Everything, young people, you are sometimes very entertained with media stuff, with movies and everything else. And sometimes we learn some concepts that is not from God. We learn that revenge is a good thing. We see in movies when we even sometimes admire the hero that somebody harmed his family, and then he goes and get these guns, you know, this gun and go and get all the bad guys. And we be careful, because what it looks like is disguised as a good feeling that we want justice. Justice is not for us to apply. Be careful how the devil is molding your character for you to believe that revenge is okay. One person once asked me, Pastor, if somebody breaks in your house and has a gun and try to kill you and you fight with the person and then you grab the gun and then the person gets another gun, now the person has a gun, is going to shoot at you and you have a gun that this individual brought in, would you shoot that person? I say, probably not. And the person says, why not? It would be self-defense. I said, I'd rather die to live than to live to die. If somebody takes my life, my the Lord gives me back forever, I'll be better shape. Amen. Be careful not in your heart allow place to do things that God does not want to be in your heart. Revenge is not a way to deal with crisis. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had. He gave him. And by the way, sometimes we talk about Job and we forget that Job had a wife and she went through the whole same thing. Okay? So let's call attention to the sacrifice. This was not just about Job. It was about his wife as well. We could have a whole book about Job's wife, her experience. She treated him. She stayed with him. The only one who stayed with him. And so it is important for us to notice that she went and had beautiful children. They start a new marriage, a new life, everything. And the Bible even say that it was the most gorgeous girls in the world was his children, healthy ones. So when the Lord gives us something, he spoils us. He never gives us anything that is defective. 42 verse 10. Now, Jeremiah, disappointment. Jeremiah's feelings. Jeremiah 20 verse 14. Good New Translation says this. Cursed the day I was born. What a bunch of crybabies, right? Cursed the day that I was born. Forget the day my mother gave me birth. Oh. It looks like somebody can use this in favor of abortion. I don't like to call abortion, you know. It is just a murder. It says here, forget the days. Why did he say that? He felt ashamed because he prophesied something and his prophecy did not come true. And so he was made fun of. People made fun of him. And so this moment he says, oh, I'm not a prophet. I claimed this. I said that this was going to happen. It didn't happen. Oh, I want to die. But it doesn't stop here. For I know the plans I have for you, the Lord told him and told Israel, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. The word disaster there means destruction. It is a plan from Abba, not from Abaddon. It's Abba who is speaking, not Abaddon. Abaddon will say, I have plans to destroy you. No, I have plans to uplift you, to make something of your life, to give you a future and hope. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, New Living Translation. Brothers and sisters, Jeremiah continued by, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Means blessed are those that seek the Lord and talk to him. Verse 8, they are like trees planted along the river bank. Have anybody here visit a desert before? We live in a desert. Have you noticed that some place the trees are green? How come? Because there's presence of water there. But if it's by a river or something else, it's always in the riverside. There is a place that we will pass by. There was everything dry, but in one place that we could see, even from the flying over, we could see that almost like a snake, all green. We could tell, even though we cannot see from the air, the water, we could see there is a river there because all the trees on the banks are green because they continually have their roots seeking the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by the long months of drought. Their leaves stay green. Who do you think Jeremiah is talking about here? Let me see if I'm going to get one answer correct here. Who is Jeremiah talking about here? We.
Us.
Yes. We. Now, think about you and start reading this again. We are like trees planted by the river bank. Jesus Christ says, I am the living water. My roots. And by the way, if you are like eucalyptus, your roots grow just like this. But if you are a tree that when the storm comes, you don't fall very easily. You notice that when there is a very strong wind, the eucalyptus is a dangerous tree because they are heavy, very heavy, and their roots do not go down. They came from Australia, so they're from a desert area, so they grow, their roots go like this. By DNA, even no matter where you plant the eucalyptus, even if the soil is good for the roots to go down, it won't go down. It's a very stubborn tree. It goes like this because the DNA says you're supposed to go like this to find the water. So we are not an eucalyptus tree. We are trees that are, our roots go deep. What is the purpose of the roots to go deep? To give stability for the tree. No matter what storm will come, no matter how much heat, if the roots are to the source of the living water, the heat won't be bothered. It says, don't worry, for the long months of drought, their leaves will still green. Do you know what is the word, the leaves still green? Is that wherever you go, you shine because Christ is in you.
Amen.
People will not see the symbol of death in you if you have the living Christ in your life. Your words will be words of life. Your example will be examples of life. And they never stop producing fruit. By their fruits, you shall know them. Jesus Christ says clearly, some people today call themselves Christians. But the first time the heat comes, their leaves go down because their roots are not deep. They are not real Christians. They are just pretending. Who is this individual? If you have any doubt, look at the well in the back. Jonah. Resentment. What was the problem with Jonah? He refused a call. Have somebody once asked you, are you a Seventh-day Adventist? And you were as quick as possible to get out of that conversation. But yeah. And move out because you don't want to start a Bible study. You feel uncomfortable. What about if they ask me to open my Bible? I don't even know where is Genesis. You're laughing, but there are people that come to church every Sabbath who have no idea where Genesis is. The last time they opened their Bible, God knows when. Maybe in the time of Genesis. Brothers and sisters, don't become friends with your Bible because your Bible is going to be taken away. Now then, Lord, let me die. It's like a routine. Everybody wants to die here, right? I want to die. I am better off dead than alive. Why? Because God had the audacity to tell his prophet to preach so that people could be saved. But the only problem is that he was willing to preach to anybody, but not to those that I don't like it. Do you know that that was the issue? He did not like the people of Nineveh because they were the enemies of Israel. They have caused so many trouble to Israel. It says, how am I going to save the people that are afflicting my people? Have you ever prayed for the Russians? Or you are only praying for the people from Lithuania, or Ukraine, Lithuania, where the word came from Ukraine? Believe me, there is innocent people from both sides. We have to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ said to us to pray even for our enemies. But Jonah They don't understand that. Pray in the Spirit at the times and every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere, even in Nineveh. No matter how much you may dislike somebody for some reason, but remember, you must pray for everyone, everywhere. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus Christ comes and you are there waiting for Jesus Christ to come and he is coming and somebody just do this in your shoulder and you look, is that disgusting neighbor? I'm here because I saw Christ in your life. I'm here because of you. Do you think that that's possible? It must be. Forgiveness. Jesus' answer. Now here comes the positive part. And every time we arrive at Jesus, then it becomes everything positive. In Luke 23, by the way, this is so easy for you to never forget again. Luke, you can say, you can spell Luke and L-O-O-K, you know, like look. Luke 23, 34, 2, 3, 3, 4. What is the code Luke 3, 2, 3, 3, 4? And Jesus said, Father, forgive the members of Vista, for they do not know what they do. Forgive Pastor Elson because he does not know what to do. Forgive. What he was talking about? He was talking about his enemies. Did Jesus have any enemy? Yeah. I know, I set you up. A person who loves like God loves have never have enemies. Yes. They are enemies of him, but he has no enemies. Because, you see, that's why he says, pray for your enemies. Pray for your enemies, meaning nobody should be your enemy. If you pray for those that you're supposed to hate, then you hate no one. Therefore, you have no enemies. People may be willing to hurt you, but if they turn you into their enemy, then you become one of them. Don't let anybody shape you because the Lord wants to shape you, nobody else. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Now, assurance. There was there beside Jesus two individuals. One said a few things and the other one said, I agree with you. Yes, this individual goes around saying that he's the Messiah and everything else. He resurrected the dead and everything else. Why doesn't he come down from this cross and helps us to get down too? And they went like this, blah, 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 for hours. Finally, one of them was touched by the Holy Spirit. The other one denied to receive the Holy Spirit. But the one, of course, thank you, God, is the one on the right. I always like this one, the one on the right, because he's right. The one on the right said, Lord, I'm going to take you on your promise. Is it possible that you allow me to go to the kingdom? Oh, Jesus Christ says, I'm going to tell you this. Jesus said to him, surely I say to you, by the way, in original, the comma does not exist. If you are having King James, they put the comma in the wrong place. If you have any other version, they put the comma in the other place, okay? So, surely I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Have you heard that? Have you heard Jesus Christ saying this to you? He is saying to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Luke 23, 43. Now, these things I have spoken to you, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is saying. that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have crisis, tribulations of all kinds, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world, and you will also, of course. John 16:33. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask for anything, all that we have to do is to be sure that it's according to his will. Every prayer that is done according to God's will be answered. So if you want your prayers to succeed, just pray for that. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all the things he has done. How many people pray for God, for something, pray, and when they receive, they tell two or three people about it, and that's it. I don't know, all of you here, what you're praying for, but let me tell you a secret for something to happen right away in your life. Make a promise to God. Lord, when I receive, not if. Don't ever use if. That's the devil's tool, okay? When I receive this, I make a commitment that I will stand in front of everyone and I'll give praise to you and to you alone. Amen. It's not that God is looking to be famous. It's God wants you to be grateful. Amen. That's all that he wants. Many people say that they don't receive in their lives enough because they don't give enough. If you give enough, you have more than enough. The sufferings we have now are nothing in comparison to what the Lord has reserved for you and I. Romans 8:18. The Lord says, I will rescue those who loves me. I will protect those who trust in my name. We almost done. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. When? In crisis, I'll be with them. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Psalms 91, which is a wonderful psalm for us to read and memorize as well. I said, I am about to fall, but the Lord, your love kept me safe. I was very worried, but you comforted me and made me happy. Psalm 94, verse 18 and 19. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to ask you today, every one of you will face crisis, but how many of you are willing to face crisis alone? You don't have to. Today, I'd like to say to you, grab his hand. Accept his promises. Talk to him. Pray. Pray and pray again. One advice, when you pray, say the least about what you need and be concerned about what other people need. And your needs will be taken care of. God bless you. And I hope when Jesus Christ comes, you pat on my shoulder and say, Pastor, I'm here too.
Amen.
I hope to see you there. Let's sing together, He Leadeth Me.